Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show. I want to talk about a moment that I don't think anyone knew occurred except for me and Dan, and I almost fucking lost it in the beginning of the show.
I didn't realize until I read chat.
We did this at each other, and I was fucking so close to cracking like two or three times. Because I know he knew what I was doing, and I was trying to flip his camera because he kept looking off to the side, and so I rotated it. But if you've ever watched any of the other shows, I never guessed the button on the same time because the icons are super misleading.
So he
just goes whoop, and then like that. And then we started doing this and staring at each other for like a good 5 minutes. And it was a couple people in chat caught it, and it was pretty hilarious. Yeah. I didn't know if anyone else on the show caught it, but it's good stuff.
It was pretty funny. I could tell no one else except us saw it happen.
Yeah.
And a couple people in chat. It was great.
Yeah, you kept making that smirk, and I was like, God fucking damn, Dan, stop. I'm going to lose my shit in the middle of like Adam's monologue at the very beginning of the show. It'll just ruin everything. So that was definitely a good moment. And then the other one, which I think I'm just going to say it. It set the tone for the entire year. The double crit at the very beginning.
Yeah, the double crit.
It's great.
I love when that happens. Shit like that. Like, it's the exact opposite of, you remember, I know Max remembers this moment where it was like, well, look, you're not going to die unless you get a one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I actually watched that clip not too long ago. I don't remember. It popped up. Somebody tweeted it or something. It came in my feed and I watched it. I was like, yeah, I remember that. Like, the odds of you doing that is it's 1 in 20. Yeah. Come on.
1 in 20.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good stuff.
It's great when you end up with those situations where you're like, "Well, this sets the tone for the whole thing." Boom, double 20s.
That's great.
It was
awesome.
Here we go. We're going to cruise through 2018. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah, in terms of just like, I guess to speak to why the fuck I became like the number 23 Jim Carrey guy sitting in the middle of my room, I felt like of all the things that Solly could have been interested in, it was like the most mundane thing that everyone else takes for granted, but he notices it and thinks that no one else does. And so he's going to try to investigate it. And that's kind of why I went that route. And I think I'm happy with how it played out. Both the fact that the three of you went off on your own, and then Calumet came back and the two of you got into some shit, and Calumet kind of had a little bit, like, I thought that was, a lot of people were thinking it was scripted in chat, and I was like, nope, that's all, there's nothing, yeah, this all is all fly. Just off the fly. It's great, on the fly. It's great.
That is like one of the best compliments you get. It's like, is this scripted? It's like,
yeah.
No.
I love seeing that in chat. I'm just like, nope. Like, we have a kind of general idea. Well, Adam does. Yeah. We don't know what the fuck's going on.
As a GM, that's one of my favorite things. When I go off on like a lore tangent, or I just like start fucking winging it, and people are like, "Is he just reading something?" I'm like, "No, I am flying by the fucking seat of my pants right now, and I'm glad you like it because God knows I'm just making it up as I go." So
yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm not even sure where to start. I feel like we saw so many different like magical beings of importance, and then we just were kind of like, whatever. It's kind of like, that's some fucking creature that's stuck up on a wall. It's whatever. Which I thought that was a lot of fun. And the whole mermaid thing, or siren, whatever you want to call that.
Whatever she was, seductress of the deeps.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. I thought Ramus, Dan, you played that great, and acted exactly how the character would, which is a lot of fun. I thought it was great, the entire thing. I am curious about XP because we didn't do it on the show. Do you want to save that for next show, do you want to do it now?
I'm starting to think that the best time to do XP is at the beginning of the episode, so that we can be like, are you still into this or is this resolved? Because then we take them away and then you build a new one. I think the beginning of the episode is actually the best place to do it.
Sounds good.
We'll do that because I know two, maybe three of you. Like, there's been a bunch of resolved stuff. So
there was a bunch of stuff there in that episode for sure.
That'll be the way to do it. And then that way, if anybody like levels or whatever, you can just like do it right away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But for me, that was a stellar fucking episode.
It feels so good to be back.
Yeah, it really does. I felt like we fell back right into it after about 45 minutes in the show. Dan, for you, standout moments, anything you want to bring up, talk about, dive into?
I love the interaction of tying Ramus's previous arc with this one, with the fire elemental, and just bring it all together.
I'm so glad that you guys decided to go and talk to Agni. because that like Fireforge dude from fucking like a year ago now.
Right.
I mean, when did we do
that? That was the Court of Swords live show.
The live show. Yeah. So that was what?
October or something like that. Or no, October? No.
He was like,
yeah, it was a live show, wasn't it? Yeah.
This was the live show.
It was
the
June. Court of Swords live
show. I remember that dungeon and looking at the television.
Yeah, I think it was June.
Yep. Yep. So a thing that just didn't get resolved then, I filed it away in my head and I was like, here's an opportunity, like weeks ago when I was planning this stuff.
Yeah, when you brought that up, I had like, before Dan even said anything, I was like, wait a minute. We've run into one of these things before. Uh-huh. And I saw Dan start going down that path. So then I was like, Dan, what are you talking about? I was so glad you like, because I have, there's literally no way for me to know any of that happened as a character. But mm-hmm. I'm glad that, yeah.
Even Berg knowing that that shit happened, like, Berg's kind of slow a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
Dan's the only one. It
takes him a little bit longer to connect the dots. That's why I was like, I knew what Dan was doing. I wasn't trying to show any of it. And then I was like, oh, wait. Yeah.
That was probably my favorite moment from that live show is when we kind of went into the elemental world or elemental plane when I was playing my druid and we got to speak with we know his name now. It starts with an N. I'm just blanking on it.
Novum?
Novum.
Novum.
Yeah. Novum. Yep. Yeah. Novum. That was fucking awesome. So I guess we're going back to the caves.
I loved seeing the reaction too from
chat.
No, it's so good.
Oh yeah.
So what's been really fun for me is combining like existing D&D cosmological lore with like brand new weird Court of Swords stuff and watching people figure out like, oh, Adam's referring to this thing, but he's like twisted it for Court of Swords. There's been a bunch of that stuff over the last few episodes, and it's really fun for me seeing the like kind of D&D fans be like, wait, this sounds like this thing. Wait, oh my God, it is this thing, but it's like different. It's super fun for me. So I got to do that a little bit this episode, and I love making the chat be like, wait, is he describing like, is this that? It's super cool.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Any other moments for you, Dan? I think we got to talk about the elephant in the room. Max, you were actually upset with Dan today for about 5 minutes there. You were visibly upset. For a second, upset.
Because at that point, it wasn't clear whether or not like she was actually going to help.
Right.
I had a feeling that maybe, you know, like maybe it would still happen. But yeah, I was like, I'm the one that needs something from her and Ramus being Ramus, which makes sense to his character.
Yeah.
I was upset at the situation. Of course, like he played, you know, Ramus as Ramus would be like, wait a minute, a boon? Of course, touch my face.
Yeah, she offered power. I mean, I have to.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
Something that Ramus desires more than anything else is power.
Yeah, I thought that
basically
was
fun.
The thing about that too is that like you have the boon of flame, right? You're touched by fire. Agni's mark protects you from flame, but also the mark of her hand will show you as like having been touched by her power. So now secret like Imix cultists will see you and be like, he's one of ours, right? Like it's not just like everything that happens both mechanically and narratively. And so it's a cool thing to I like when you agree to that stuff, because then I can be like, nice. All right. So this changes the trajectory of a character in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the way I was going to play Berg, he was like, remember I said like, oh, I can sympathize a lot with how Berg's feeling right now. Cause I was going to play him as like, he was just seething with anger, you know, and like getting upset because this resolution to, you know, fixing his arm was kind of being placed in front of him, and this person's clearly able to fix it and then just snatched away. But you know, then it resolved a little bit more when she actually decided to help Berg in return for completing like the quest for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thought that worked out. You were gonna say something though, Dan, before I brought up that that topic. What other moment did you want to bring up?
I thought the it was really fun to play the siren part with being mind controlled and fighting with Berg.
Yeah.
Hissy fight. That was fun.
Well, so often those kinds of scenes, those like charmed by a magical entity, they're played so serious and it's like, oh, roll initiative and like you're fighting to the death. But I was just like, nah, she just wants to fuck with you. So slap fight each other. That'd be funny. Right. So I was playing through her that like, well, she's bored, right? She doesn't want anybody to kill each other. And like the cliche thing to do is like, she commands you to free her.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now it's a fucking thing. But instead, I was like, no, she's just kind of petty and is like, it'd be funny if I make these men fight each other. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was fun for me, at least walking into, because I was like, oh, of course sirens and fucking turtles hate each other. That's a thing.
Right.
And that's why I was like, I hope I nail this role, because that's exactly
they're around, and like, yeah, you both live under the sea.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty fun. Max, what about you? Any standout moments we haven't brought up yet for you for the episode?
I mean, obviously, Berg resolving his chain, getting his fucking rock arm taken care of and having the power.
You're now Hellboy.
Hellberg.
Yeah, Hellberg. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everyone said Hellberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. Also, I mean, it wasn't even like necessarily a Berg moment, but in general, just having that throwback to the old story arc that Berg was a part of. Like, that doesn't happen too often in the show. Like, it does. I mean, it does happen, but like when it does happen and it relates to like something that Berg, because Berg's obviously the longest standing character that I forget sometimes, like, oh shit, right, that happened with Berg. Like,
right.
You know, it reminds me, and then all those memories come back and I'm like, oh shit. So that's always really rewarding and fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything else that was like specifically Berg centered or, you know, a big moment for Berg.
What about you, Zeke?
The end for sure.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I honestly, and it was like a real life feeling that, once we had to make the second wisdom saving throw, and I don't have like a great like bonus, like I have a +1 to wisdom and I rolled a 16 and a 15 and a 16 to keep going. And I felt like I was supposed to keep going because, Remus and Sully Hoffa both should have made those saves and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, man, I should keep going. If I'm the only one that can keep going, I should keep going. There's no way I'm going to convince all three of them who are flipping the fuck out.
Yeah.
To go with me. So it felt like this is my shit. And then when you made like the road paved with tarot cards, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I will say like every like little exchange, every chance I get to inject a little bit of humor and a little bit of like, you know, a little snide comment here and there. Like when I was pounding on the door being like, oh my God, they made Rey Mysterio his own leg and shit, so like that. Good. Like any chance I get to do that, like I feel like that's kind of what I would do. Like to my characters, like to, you know, lighten the mood and shit like that. I will say like being Zeke and being Kalimat, I hate like not having like a pivotal role in things. I hate being feeling like an ancillary character to like Berg and Ramus and Sully Hoffa's story. Like you guys all have ties to this place. I'm struggling to find mine.
I don't think
Sully
I have
Hoffa's, like the search for knowledge, and you have like a great like want to discover new things or to discover like things that are of the Arcanum and stuff like that. Okay. Ramus obviously with Berg, they both have like this outstanding drive to be here, and I have a struggle. I'm trying to find like what is my connection to this place, and I feel like at the end of the episode I kind of found it.
Yeah. I kind of also think you're like the traveler, like you're along for the even though we all have our own strong ties leading us elsewhere, like you're the guy that sits there and makes sure shit gets done at the end of the day. Like you took over the conversation with Agni right off the bat. Cause I was immediately going to go as in character. I was immediately going to like neuter that entire conversation.
I'm really excited about the beginning of the next episode because I mean, I know who you're going to interact with and it's going to be a very, very different conversation with Kalimat than it would be like Berg or Ramus or Sully Hoffa. Like I'm really excited about thinking about what this character might have to bring to the table when they talk to you specifically. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Well,
I also want to say too, like, I don't think it's necessarily a negative for your character too, like that there's no specific tie. I think it would be a shame to rush something like that. To rush like, you know, some sort of connection or tie or whatever to like the world as at large. Obviously Berg and Ramus and stuff like that have connections in that way because they've been around for a really long time. But the reason why their whole purpose and stuff like that is so like interesting is because they've been around for a little bit and they've had this experiences. I would never want you as your character, Kalimat, which is such an awesome character, to rush through and like be like, this is who I am now. This is me. You know what I mean? I want that journey. I want that. I want every little bit of detail for your along, you know, for your time along the road as that character.
Yeah.
To make it so much more important for future stuff that we encounter too.
Well, what's great now is that this isn't just about like what can we learn about Kalimat in 12 episodes. We have lots of time now to spool that out, which I think is huge.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also a big part of it is feeling like being a pawn in a big game. Like if something were to confront us and want us dead, we would be dead. Like that kind of feeling.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the feeling of like, I can't defend myself against this huge wizard or this God's child and that kind of stuff. Like the only thing I felt like I could actually maybe help have a chance with was the fucking mermaid.
No, I saw you like
if the mermaid attacked, like I might have a chance to like outwit it and you know that kind of stuff. But the other stuff is like if they want to just go like we'd be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling to have like if I was out in the world like when we started, like in the city of brass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was starting the city of brass, like I was on an equal plane with other mortals, and now I am not. Yeah.
Right.
Welcome to traveling with Berg and Ramus.
I know shit, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's so cool though, because it is interesting. Like when you did first meet up with Ramus and Berg, there was those exchanges of like, "Welcome to traveling with us." Like shit gets fucking weird, man. You're like, "Oh, I've traveled myself," and I'm like, "No, it gets weird, man."
No, you have no idea, bro. You don't know.
Yeah.
Also, too.
But I just wanted to add an addendum to that. Like, I enjoy like if you've been role playing as long as I have, you learn to look for those moments and really savor them, like the different moments, like the moments that you don't see coming that maybe don't give you like the best feeling. Those are the moments that really stick out, and you really like have to examine, like, oh man. Why do I feel like this and really enjoy that part of it and be like, oh my God, this is so, it's so juicy to not know.
Yeah.
Like what you mean or where you're going and stuff like that. It leaves such an open thing. Like to have a quest is one thing, but it really makes you plumb deep when you're not sure where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad we went down the dark hallway for that exact reason. Cause you know, we know what was up the stairs, the wizard. We talked to him, that'd be cool and everything, but we don't have no idea what's down this hallway. It could be anything down there.
I mean,
we know what's right down there. The three of us, Zeke has no idea what's down there.
Zeke, you called it, right? In that, like, it's the Monty Hall. It's like, you can have this dishwasher or a chance at a brand new car or eternal damnation, whichever. Like, you just open the door. That'd be nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
One might say, if only we looked at real life that way, we might be better off.
Like role-playing games, I've said this lots of times, role-playing games, the stuff that makes them cool and fun is when you have to make hard choices. Hard decisions for your character is what makes RPGs work. So if you are being forced to make hard calls, like every time I watch a player squirm and be like, oh God, I don't know what to do, like this or this other thing, do we attack the guy or do we make a deal? Like, do we like Inanna or do we like Utrix? So my whole goal is to funnel you into interesting, relevant, hard decision points to be like, what are you going to do now? I know they're both difficult choices. Pick one.
I mean, that's
damn right. I love it.
That's honestly one of the reasons why at the beginning of the show, it's like, I have no idea what to do with my character. Kind of he's a little boring right now. He's not too interested. So I'm going to find the first magical thing that's super mundane and just become like a crazy person and focus on that, and then it worked out. Like it kind of turned into something fun, that's kind of how I played it all today. I wish I spoke up a little bit more during the conversation, but there was like Ramus and both Max and Dan had so much to get done there that I was kind of like, nah, it's fine. I got him here. Yeah. I got him here. It's cool. Like, that's not a big deal. And I was honestly, as you guys do things, I complete quests. So there wasn't very much for me to say.
And also, I just a thought occurred to me. God damn you, Adam, for not having that person at the table when I came back to get Sally Hoffa. God damn you, Adam, for not having that person stay there.
I knew that was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing here is that if you're going to go and talk to them, it has to be you breaking the rules, right? It has to be like, do not go into the forbidden ward of the castle. And you're like, yeah, but what if I just go into the forbidden ward just like a little bit? What if I just poke my head in the forbidden ward? Can I just go in there and talk to it?
Yeah, and what if I hokey pokey it?
Put my arm in there. Like, just stick my head in. I'm like, yo, what's up? How you doing? So, you know, I'm not going to give it to you. You have to make the conscious choice to do the thing.
Yeah,
I know. It never. I mean, if it came easy, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. All right. Well, I think that's an episode. What's up?
One last thing I was going to mention for people that are interested in the lore of Berg or like stuff like Berg. That was a very conscious memory that I interjected into the like weird like trippy flashback thing. I'm not going to give any like actual context of what was happening, but that is a very important person in Berg's life that has never been mentioned before.
Cool. All right. We'll learn more of that.
Nice. That's exciting.
Or we won't. I don't know. We'll have to, we'll have to see. Yeah. I like doing the breadcrumb reveal type stuff for sure. I think that's something that me and Zeke will have to eventually do for our characters. Definitely. Because one of the things that's not necessarily bad, but me and Zeke are up against a lot of already established lore. And it's really, like, I kind of understand what Zeke was saying. It's daunting a little bit to be like, yeah, well, I've got this about my character. That's almost how it comes off sometimes. Yeah.
Well, so. Berg is just, he's a result of just surviving, right? Like, he's just the guy that survives. And because of that, he's become interesting, right? Because we have this.
Well, same as Ramus.
Same with Ramus. No, it's the exact same thing.
We didn't mention it. When she told you about the jar thing. Basically in heaven, that was pretty fucking. I was like, oh shit, we gotta get to heaven.
I was like, oh shit,
we gotta get a ticket to heaven, man.
Get confirmation.
Yeah. Well, they're building that stairway, and
you gotta buy one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, that's a thing, right? Is like once you learn, like, cool. Well, we gotta go to heaven and like muck around there. It's like, good. Like, how do you get there? What do you do? And what are your avenues for that? And again, you'll have to make a devil's bargain to make your way there because
listen, we're talking to some crazy ass wizards already, so I feel like we're on track to learn about that.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, that's gonna do it. We will see you guys next week for more Court of Swords, but for now we're signing off. So we'll see you on Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern. Thank you so much once again for all your support here on Patreon. We're out. Have a good one. Bye-bye. I was about to do that. Bye-bye.
Salute.
Bye-bye, patrons. I'm turning into Anne all of a sudden. See you next week. Bye.